Okay, special warm welcome to all of you again, those of you who have just come in. So today we're having a talk by Ajahn Brahmali. He's a Norwegian who used to be a shipping executive, worked in Singapore as well, before finding Buddhism through a visit in Japan, if I recall the facts correctly. So I'm very happy to have Ajahn Brahmali here, because he's like our Vesak monk. Every Vesak he shows up to give talks. He's Ajahn Brahm's disciple at the Bodhiyana Monastery. So, Ajahn Brahmali, please.
Okay. This afternoon's talk is going to be on conflict and how we can deal with conflict in our relationships with people. And it's just an aspect. This morning we're talking about suffering and happiness. And of course, conflict is just one aspect of the suffering that is so much part of our lives. So the question is that it's very useful in many ways to look at one such aspect, because not only do you then understand how to deal with conflict itself, but many of those things, many of the ways that you deal with conflict is also applicable to other aspects of life. So if you know how to deal with conflict in a certain way, you can transfer that and also deal with other problems that you may have in life. So it's very useful to narrow down and focus on one thing and then see what happens. And of course, the first thing to realize about conflict is that it is something which is all-pervasive. It's not something that you can really get away from. It's something wherever you go in the world, you're always going to find conflict. You have conflict in families, you have conflict at work, you have conflict with your friends. And wherever you go, you're going to find it's exactly the same. It's not something that you sort of move away from and then hope to find a conflict-free zone, so to speak. There is no such thing as a conflict-free zone. And the interesting thing is, if you read the suttas and read the Buddha's own experience, you find out even the Buddha had to deal with difficult people in his life. You have stories where people would come up to the Buddha and they would be very angry with him. And they would say to him, "Is it true that you teach such a teaching?" And then they would tell him off in the harshest kind of language. How can you say such things? This is really bad. But of course, there wasn't any conflict there, because conflict is only something which arises when two sides get into trouble. But the Buddha didn't respond to this anger. He didn't respond with anger of his own. And because of that, there wasn't really any conflict. There's only one person who was having the problem there, and that was the person who was attacking the Buddha through their own anger. So looking for, if you try to look for a place in the world where there's no conflict, it's like the famous simile which Ajahn Chah used to use. Ajahn Chah is one of the most famous meditation teacher in the Thai meditation tradition, very, very famous, maybe the most famous one of all in the last century in Thailand. And he used to say that looking for such things as freedom from conflict is like looking for a tortoise with a moustache. If you look for a tortoise with a moustache, there is no such thing. You can't find that. So in other words, you're looking for something which doesn't exist. And that gives us some idea of how we should deal with this problem of conflict, because we cannot just run away from these things. And this brings me to how people normally deal with conflict. And there's three ways which I can see are very common. All of these three ways don't really work. They're not really a good solution how to deal with difficult people and difficult situations. And the first one is to reply in kind to somebody. If somebody is difficult, somebody is angry with you, they treat you in a bad way, they do something which is not right, this is not right, and then you retort, and you sort of, you retort in kind, you say the same thing back to them, you also get angry, you also get self-righteous, you also do something which is nasty, you also do something which isn't right. That is a very common way of reacting when somebody does something bad towards us. And it's understandable. It's understandable that we do that. We sort of feel it is only fair that we react the same way if they treat us badly. But we also know that if you react in kind, do the same thing bad, that is when you get conflict in the first place. That is when the problem arises. It escalates. They then get back on you again. And so it keeps going, gets worse and worse. And this whole problem of conflict comes into existence through this kind of thinking. The second kind of thing that people often use, and this is when you get into a conflict which may last for a long time. Sometimes we have problems with people, and it may go on for weeks and months, sometimes years, because we can't seem to be able to resolve these things. And sometimes it gets so ingrained in us that this kind of person, we cannot stand them, they can't stand us, and we're just incapable of changing our attitude and changing our ways. And then, very often, the solution is that people do, is they run away. They just can't take it any longer. And of course, one classical example is at work. If we have a very difficult work situation, with particularly somebody there who will find absolutely intolerable, there comes a point when we just run away and we just find a job somewhere else. Or there's a friend, we refuse to meet this friend anymore. Maybe friend is the wrong word for it then, but we refuse to meet this person anymore because we just can't stand him anymore. And the same thing with family members. There might be some family members that we don't really want to see because we have a long-standing problem. So running away is this other solution, and rather trying, a way of trying to solve the problem of a conflict in a relationship. And the third way, which people sometimes use, and that is to change the other person. If there's a conflict there, you think, okay, this person, surely I can change them. They must be able to see that they are at fault in this case. It's only up to me to point it out in the right way, and they will see it, and they will change, and they will become a better person as a result. And this is very often the case in close relationships, like between friends, or particularly maybe in families. We very often want to change our spouse, or our children, or our parents, because we... Because the relationship is so close, running away is not really a solution. So the solution very often is to change them so that they can, you know, conform to the way we think they should be, essentially. That's what it comes down to. So none of these three ways work. And so we have to look at things slightly differently. So taking the first way first, this idea of retaliating or acting in the same way back as they're acting towards us. Now, instead of reacting back in the same way, first of all, the conflict escalates. Secondly, if we react back in the same way, we're not really acting according to the Buddha's teachings. Because we're acting maybe with anger. We're acting not out of compassion, out of kindness. So we're doing the wrong thing as Buddhists anyway if we do that. So what can we do instead? And very often, if there is the person who is difficult, who's giving us a hard time, instead of just reacting in kind, we can still be assertive with that person. Sometimes people think that if you're a Buddhist, you just have to allow people to walk all over you, but surely that is not the case. We can still be assertive, and we can still stand our ground and keep, you know, otherwise it becomes very, very silly, and all we're doing is really hurting ourselves. But what we can do, or what we should do, if we're going to be assertive, if we're going to stand our ground and at least present our own point of view of things, we should be very careful that we do it in the right way. And the right way of doing this, and this is taken from the way things are done, usually between monks, and the way it's done in the monastery among monks, this is laid down in the code of discipline, how monks actually should behave. The first thing to remember is it has to be the right time and place for doing something. The right place often means not in public. If you're going to tell somebody something in public when other people are around, they're very likely not to listen. Because if in public you lose face, you feel that you are being intimidated, or you feel that you are being unfairly treated in front of others, you're very unlikely to accept that kind of criticism or even understand what other people are saying. So the second thing is, of course, the right time. The right time, the right place then is in private. The right time is a time when when the person has time to listen to you. They're not busy with something else. Their mind is relatively calm and peaceful. They're feeling good about themselves. It's not a time when they are already stressed out and doing so many other things. In other words, it's a time when you feel that the person is capable of listening to you properly and taking your seeing your side of this this particular argument. That is the right time. So that is a very important factor. It has to be the right time. If it isn't, you're extremely unlikely to get through to the other person. And the third thing that you have to consider, your own motivation. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to speak to this other person? Are you coming from anger? Are you being self-righteous? Is there some kind of greed there? Is there some kind of delusion in your mind? Or are you honestly concerned about yourself, your own welfare, and the welfare of the other person? If you are honestly concerned about the welfare of both people, if you are coming from compassion and kindness, then you know that you're coming from the right thing. You're doing the right thing here. It's never, if you're coming from the right place, you know that the action is going to be a good action. And the last thing that you can do in this kind of situation is to actually ask the other person and say to them, can I please say something? I'd like to say something here. And very often, because that gives the other person opportunity to say no if it is a bad time, which is already a good thing. But secondly, it is a very polite way and very kind of something which tends to open people up. If you ask politely, may I please say something? There is a problem here which I want to resolve. And then if you can follow these four steps, so I think there's a fifth one which I cannot remember, unfortunately. But if you can, at least can follow these four steps, then you are already standing a very good chance of, or at least the best possible chance of getting through if there is a problem there, if there is a potential conflict, or there may be a conflict already here. So this is just some very general basic guidelines for how to deal with somebody here when there is a problem here. Now, the second thing I was mentioning before is we try to run away from things, or we try to run away from conflict. But the point here is that there is no way to go to her. There isn't anywhere to really run away. If you have a difficult time, if you find somebody very hard, and you decide that you're going to go somewhere else, find a different job, find a different friend, find a different family or whatever, which is not so easy. But if you try these things, you will always find that wherever you go, the same problems tend to resurface somewhere else. So it's not really possible to run away here, because this is the way the world is. The world is. The conflict is part of the situation in the world. It's part of the thing that we call suffering in life. You cannot run away from these things. So we have to look in a different direction to find the solution to this problem. The last one is the idea of trying to change somebody else. And if you try to change somebody else, very often you just end up becoming frustrated, because generally speaking, it is pretty much impossible to change other people. And if you have a little bit of success in changing somebody, that is usually just for the worse. Because if you have a little bit of success, you get encouraged and you try even harder in the future. So if you don't have any success in changing other people, that is often the best thing, because then, again, you're going to have to look somewhere else for the solution to this. So changing somewhere else is not recommended either here. So what this means is that we are going to have to look at the fourth place, the fourth way of solving the issue of conflict. And that thing is always has to go back to ourselves. How can we change? How can we look at the world differently? How can we change our perceptions in such a way that that conflict, that problem we're having with a particular person, actually can become lessened. And that is where the real practice actually is. And the first step to always do when we want to change ourselves, the first thing is to accept that there is conflict in the world. And that is what I was trying to say before, that you can't run away from these things. And once you accept that there is such a thing as conflict, and wherever you go, whatever you do, there's always going to be there, then that acceptance in itself is a very, very important starting point. Once you accept that, you start to look inside of yourself for the solution instead of looking outside of yourself. So that is already extremely useful. And I heard a story quite recently in Perth, in Australia, where I live. And this was a story of this woman. This woman was living in Perth. And one day, her daughter came back home, and her daughter had been beaten up by her boyfriend, so she was kind of blue and black all over, and it was quite terrible. And of course, as a mother, she was very upset that the boyfriend of the daughter would beat up the daughter like this, and she was not happy at all, so she decided, I'm going to go over to this boyfriend and have a word with him, and see if we can sort this out. So she went over to the boyfriend, and they sat down, and they had a conversation together. At a certain point in the conversation, she felt that she had understood what the issue was. And at that point, she was able to forgive this boyfriend for what he had done. And the result was, she said, that at that moment, when she was able to forgive this boyfriend what had happened, the sense of joy and bliss arose in her. And the reason is because if there is a problem there, and you are able to forgive 100%, it's a very powerful thing. It is so powerful that the sense of joy and bliss actually happens in the mind. And this is what we mean in a way by acceptance. We accept that things are, this is the way they are. I can't really do much about it. I'm going to have to accept that this is the way things are. And that is the kind of powerful emotion that can arise when we really have full acceptance. But of course, the real acceptance means that, as I said before, we cannot get away. Conflict is always going to be part of life. We can't ever 100% get away from conflict. So what we have to do then instead, and one of the most powerful ways of doing this, is trying to understand the other person, trying to understand why they're behaving the way they are. And very often, if you start to look at people, you will find out that there is a reason why they are difficult, why they're angry, why they're making life difficult for us, and possibly also for others. And the reason is very often something to do maybe with the way that they grew up, maybe. Maybe they had a difficult upbringing. Maybe they had a difficult time at school. Maybe they had a difficult time at work. There's all kind of possibilities why people are difficult in life. And once we start to focus on the other person like that, once we start to take away the perception, looking at ourselves, feeling sorry for ourselves for being in this particular problem, then we're starting to make real headway. And one of my personal experiences, and it's interesting that Andrew should say that there's conflict even in the monastery, because there is, it's true, there is conflict also in monasteries. And conflicts are maybe a bit different from in the world, because they very rarely sort of get up and get very loud or very much, but still, sometimes there are people you find are very difficult to get along with. And because a person is difficult to get along with, there has been underlying conflict there, which doesn't really surface very much, but still it can be there, and it can still be very difficult. In my personal experience, I've only ever been, I think, one person in my monastic life who I found incredibly difficult to get along with. Everybody else, I've usually been okay. There's one person I found really, really hard to get along with. And it went on for years, and I never really knew how to deal with this particular character. I didn't know what to say or how to sort of get along with this person. And it was always very, very hard for me. And there came a point in my monastic life, I thought, maybe I just had to leave the monastery. I can't stand this any longer. This is becoming absolutely crazy. But then I realized, I understood that is not the answer to this problem. I'm here on a spiritual path. I'm here to change myself, to change my own perceptions of the world, to do something good in the world. It's not right just to leave. And that would just be fleeing a problem, because surely there is a way to deal with this. And one way of thinking is that you know that the Buddha, he wouldn't run away. The Buddha would never be intimidated by conflict or intimidated by other people like that. In fact, he would never get into conflict in the first place. So how does the Buddha deal with that kind of situation? That is one very powerful way of looking at it. And I thought to myself, running away is not the solution, so I'm going to have to change myself. I'm going to have to try to understand what's going on here. And the first thing I did was to try to understand this person. Where is he coming from? What's going on here? Why is he so difficult? Is there a reason for this? And then, of course, I found out that this particular person, he had indeed had a very difficult childhood. He had been abused by his parents. He had gone through very, very traumatic experiences. And then he ended up with a psychiatrist for 20 years to try to sort himself out to become reasonably normal again. And once you understand that there actually is there's a profound disturbance there in the mind, which has been going on for a very, very long time, then you can allow a sense of compassion to arise in you, a sense of understanding that other person, and that when that sense of understanding and compassion arises, and instead of focusing on your hurt and your problem in the conflict, you focus on the other person instead. And it can take away a problem so fast when you think like this. It can almost disappear overnight if you're able to change and swap your perceptions around. So it is very, very, very powerful technique. So try this. Try to, if there is conflict, try your very best to understand the other person. And one of the important things is that even if you cannot see a reason on the surface for why the person is so difficult, even though there's no apparent reason there, you can be absolutely sure that there's always going to be a reason why people are difficult. It's not as if they want to be difficult or they want to be hard to deal with or anything like that. There is always going to be a cause behind there. And because you can be absolutely sure there is a cause, you can also forgive that person, and you can have compassion with them because you know that they are suffering inside of themselves. There is an old French saying, which I like very much, and this saying says that if you understand everything here, you can forgive everything here. If you understand 100% where a person is coming from, why they are the way they are, then you can see yourself in their situation, and because of that, you can forgive them. So understanding is very, very powerful, and it has the beautiful additional consequence that it makes you able to forgive that particular person, that particular situation. Now, another way, which is a wonderful way, and this is also a very powerful way of looking at things, and that is to remember, and this is a story which you find in Ajahn Brahm's book, The Opening Door of Your Heart, and I find this a very powerful story here. And it's a story which is easy to think of in superficial ways and not really understanding the profound aspects of these stories. Many of the simple stories that we often read, whether it is stories from the Buddha or stories from people like Ajahn Chah or Ajahn Brahm, they can often seem simple, but in reality they have profound aspects to them, which make them extremely useful in our practice. And this story is a story where Ajahn Brahm talks about the person who comes up to a traffic light. This is a man who is very, very busy. He's going off to a meeting somewhere or something. He jumps into his car and races out. And then sure enough, as soon as he comes around the corner, the first traffic light, it's red. And of course, instead of being equanimous, he gets really angry with this traffic light. He says, "You terrible traffic light. You know that I'm busy. You know that I'm traveling around this corner here, coming so fast, because I have to go to this meeting. And you're turning red just to upset me, just to make my life difficult." And then he gets out of the car, grabs hold of the traffic light, gives it a good shake because he's so angry with it. And that is a story, of course, when we hear that story, we think this man is crazy. Somebody who watches this fellow, seeing him doing this, says he must be absolutely nuts. You can't do that with a traffic light. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And why doesn't it make any sense? And the reason why it doesn't make any sense to get angry with a traffic light is because a traffic light doesn't have any free will. A traffic light doesn't say, "Okay, I'm going to get angry when when this guy comes around the corner." The traffic light is controlled by some kind of electronic circuit or something. Every 5 minutes it gets red. Every 5 minutes it gets green. And that's the end of the story. So therefore, it is absolutely silly. And very few people, unless you are a little bit deranged, would get really angry with a traffic light. So the point is, and this is the lesson here, is that people are like traffic lights. And this is a very profound teaching of the Buddha, because the reason why people are like traffic lights is because there is this Buddhist teaching of non-self. Ultimately, there is no independent controller inside of us who is in charge of all these things, who can decide when we should get angry, when we shouldn't get angry. Ultimately, all we are is conditioned by our external phenomena around us. And because of that, in certain circumstances, we do get angry. In certain circumstances, we do things which we shouldn't be doing. And you can just think of yourself when somebody is really difficult in your life, or you have been in a relationship with somebody for a long time. When we have been in a relationship with somebody for a long time, there are certain things that person does which always irritates us, always gets on our nerves. Do you know what I mean? And how easy is it to say, "I'm not going to be irritated by that thing from this person"? And you realize this is extremely difficult. The reason that it's so difficult is because it has been conditioned into us for such an incredibly long time. And this is just to give you some idea of how hard it is to change, how hard it is to be different from what we are. And when you realize this, that people are like traffic lights, they become red every now and again, which means angry, and then they calm down again and they become more friendly, then you realize that there's nothing really to be all that angry about. There's nothing really to be upset about. There's nothing really there to have a conflict about, because this is just the nature of what people are like. This is profound, and it's very difficult, but if you can use that kind of idea in your practice, then it is very easy to forgive them, because then you understand that this person is also a victim. He's also a victim of conditionality. Even though this person very likely does not want to become angry, doesn't want to be in conflict either, they have no choice. There are all these external things around them, all the conditioned things around them, which forces them into a situation, in a sense, which they don't really want to be in. And when you see that, they are a victim of that situation as well. Again, you can give rise to compassion in your life to this person, because they are probably just as disturbed by what's going on as you are. So these are some of the hints that I would offer for you, suggest then, for using when there is conflict. And it's amazing if you spend enough time reflecting, spend enough time changing your perception of other people. It's remarkable what you can do. On top of these things, there is of course also the classical things in Buddhist teaching, that if there are problems in life, the way to overcome that is always through kindness, compassion, and metta, loving kindness. And if you do practice meditation, I always say to people, one of the things you should put a lot of emphasis in your life is metta, loving kindness. Don't forget the metta practice. Because metta is ultimately the sort of thing which will overcome difficult relationships, conflicts, which will overcome all these kind of things. Because by practicing metta, you're always focusing on the good qualities in other people, seeing the good things which are there. And everybody you will find, if you look carefully enough, has something in there which is beautiful and nice and worthy of that loving kindness. And if they haven't got, if you can't find anything in them which is worthy of loving kindness, well then you can have enormous compassion towards them, because somebody who doesn't have anything good inside of them is going to be somebody who hurts enormously inside. So because of that, you can then have compassion instead. So do practice loving kindness in your life. This is the way ultimately to change our perceptions from the bottom up, to support us in our virtue, to help us in conflict, to help us in all kind of problems. And then slowly but surely your life will be changed around, and conflicts will be much less, difficulties will be much less, and you find that people around you will generally become much more friendly, both because you change your perception, and secondly because other people will tend to like you more when you have more of these qualities. So that is just a short talk for you on conflict and things, and how to resolve these things. And as I said before, is that this kind of idea of how to deal with conflict is also a way out for how we can deal with almost any problem in life. Because the first thing is always to accept that suffering is inevitable in the human condition. And once you accept that suffering is inevitable, then instead of running away or doing something stupid in that response, we try to find a solution within ourselves. How can we change to eliminate this suffering in life? And then we are on the right track. It starts with us. We are the ones who have to do something. And then there is a potential there, enormous potential for growth in the spiritual life. Okay, so enough.